Sharumim, let's go in order. Pokeach Evrim, he opens up the blind, the eyes of the blind. Malbish Harumim, he clothes that who has no clothes. Matir Asurim, he unties, unbinds he who is bound. Zokev Kefufim, he helps stand up those who are bent over. These are essentially, according to the Shulchan Aruch, all in order of waking up. Basically, a person opens his eyes, pokeach ibrim, then you put some a robe on, malbish harumim. You can take the covers off your bed, you could bend to get out of bed, matir asurim. You start to stand up. You stand, so kev kefufim. You can start walking, rokah haaretz alamayim, baruch Hashem, there's land. What? Matir is unbind. Mutter means it's permissible, means it's unbound, not bound. Asur is bound, you're chained. When you're asleep, you're stuck.
Totally
simple. So yeah, that's the literal meaning. Yeah, so for whatever reason, there are actually differences between the Sephardic sitter and the Ashkenazic sitter. The Ashkenazic sitter, for whatever reason, has Malbish Harumim after Pokeach Ivrim. It would seem to be like you put on a cloak even before you're moving. Perhaps for some reason, if a man they didn't have clothes on, so he puts on his clothes before he gets out of bed.
Exactly. I was learning a strange halacha in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch where there's an idea of back then people slept without any clothes on. They slept naked, they only had one pair of clothes. So they had to put on their robe or whatever clothes they had under their covers before they got out of bed, because otherwise they'd be walking around naked, and that's a
issue. It could be even, it doesn't mean that they didn't have an undergarment on, but they didn't want to get out of bed with just, you know, today's free society. If a person has just underpants, boxers, he'll feel very free to roam outside. But there was once upon a time that people had shame. And, and pajamas is a new invention. The idea of going to sleep in sweats in the winter and in shorts and a t-shirt in the summer, like that's a new innovation. In the olden days, I don't know if it meant that they would be without anything, but it wasn't something respectable that they'd want the world to see.
Slip
under
around.
the
maybe means walking around is like literally walking outside, walking around. It doesn't mean like getting up and going to your closet to change into clothes. Like you would change into clothes before you walk outside. You would change into clothes before you walk around the room. So that's why.
Meaning in the privacy of your own bedroom.
Yeah, in your own bedroom.
So you grab a robe while you're still under the covers, and then you move a little, then you stand a little, and then you walk a little. It could be that there was actually a differentiation between the Ashkenazic and Sephardic cultures in terms of how to get dressed, and what they wore at night. Right, which today I think would be more natural as well.
Yeah,
because getting dressed, you get dressed after you're standing.
Don't they have a bunch of changes in this party center? Like, I was using it, and I was like, I just read through it, I had no idea.
This makes more sense. This makes more sense. And maybe in the Sephardic lands, they had already a concept of pajamas or more, you know, they had a different culture of how to go to sleep and get up. Sleeping etiquette. Irma Bombeck in Sephard was different than an Ashkenaz.
When I looked at Matir Asurim, I was thinking of like a tshuva standpoint. It's like you do something that's usher, and like he Matir Asurim, like he makes what you do wrong, like he makes it good. Like when you do tshuva, he mutters you. Like that's the way.
So Matir Asurim means he unbinds the bound. He who is bound, who is stuck. In whatever world he's stuck in, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is matir. He unbinds him. He releases you from whatever you're stuck in. Okay, Zokev Kefufim Rokahar Talamayim and Baruch Shem, the land is on the water, which is a funny one, right? You put your feet on the ground. Rokahar Talamayim. Technically, you can't really stand up. You can't do Zokev Kefufim before Rokahar Talamayim. How do you stand up before you put your feet on the ground? Ah. It's a little complicated, isn't it? So what I imagine, Sardom always have it right. they just skip Rukar. Oh, no, you also had a bad out of order.
How many of the
Timonies? I don't know. Okay, so Rokah Haaretz El Hamayim, somehow the idea of walking on the land, that you have land to stand on, the idea that you have land, like Baruch Hashem, the land is on the water, meaning the world started with water, then Hashem kind of put land on top of the water, and how great it is that the land doesn't sink, but it's still there in the morning, and you know, you put your feet down, hey, there's land still there. Rokah Haaretz El Hamayim. He established the land on the water. Sha'asali kol tzarki. He does for me, did for me all my needs. He has provided for me. Hameichin mitzadei gaber. And he establishes mitzadei, or prepares mitzadei, or the footsteps of gaber, of a person, of man. He plans my footsteps. And I gave a sicha once about this idea. Yeah. Vidyuk, the Machla story, Diane Ehrenschroy, the Diane Ehrenschroy story with her Blazer Gordon, and he ended up going to London to raise money, and that's where he passed away, and no one knew why he went to London, and he couldn't give you a straight answer why he went to London, and he ended up passing away there right after he got forgiveness. Hashem Eichen Mitzadei Gaver, Hashem plans our footsteps. You had a kash on the Rav Machla story.
I understand what this bracha meant.
He plans, mitzadei, the footsteps of man. Okay, so that's the last one in the list, starting from Pokeach Ivrim, ending with Mekin Mitzadei Gavr. That's the last one in the list of personal accomplishment brachos, meaning things that have to do with you standing up, accomplishing, walking, moving. That's the you. In the world, that's these brachos.
Yeah, so before Pokeach Ivrim, he was talking about, where
would
you put that category?
Oh, I'll explain that in a second. The next bracha, though, seems to just switch themes. Ozer Yisrael Bigvura. Ozer is buckles. You have a belt. Ozer b'chagura. The chagura is the belt. Ozer Yisrael Bigvura. God, the appropriate English word is girds, to gird your belt. Right? Hashem girds Am Yisrael with might.
No, but it also means help. If you say Nivotazara in
Hebrew, that's with an ayin. That's help. This is to buckle up. Okay, so you Hashem buckles, like girds Am Yisrael with might. Then Oter Yisrael. He, what's Oter, not Tara? A crown, good. He crowns the Jewish people with glory. Fascinating. We just left the domain of the individual and walked right into the world of the nation. Where are we? What do these brachos have to do with each other? What are Birchos HaShachar for that matter? We started off with Baruch Hashem, there's a rooster in the world. Then we moved into three brachos about I'm not a non-Jew, I'm not a slave, and I'm not a woman. Then we went from there to everyone's individual abilities. I could see, I can stand, I can walk. And then we moved into a fourth theme, or up to the fourth already, that certain things that Hashem does for the nation. And then we get to the last one, which is totally out of order. For you. Yeah, the Svardim have Noten La'ev Koach, of course, in the middle, which does indeed make seemingly more sense. that Baruch Hashem, he gives the tired strength. Now, once you're up and moving about, and you are already a glory for the Jewish people, that's funny that you'd be saying, you know, Baruch Hashem, you give me koach. How'd you get to this point in the day without koach? That probably should have been right at the beginning. You wake up, Hashem, give me some farfignugan. I need some strength. Right? Thank you, you give man strength. So I thought of a possibility. Really, this is not what I believe. I'll get to what I believe in a minute. You know, you could say on a certain level, before you understand what it's really about, and what it's always about is, of course, Geula. Before I demonstrate that, you know, one could get away with saying it takes time for a person to wake up. We all know, like we show up to the morning kollel half asleep. If you actually put the coffee in your cupper on the floor, you're only half aware. It takes time. So, you're halfway through the day till finally you could say, now I have koach. So now I thank Hashem. And I'm saying, like, but not halfway through the day, 5 minutes, 10 minutes after you're dressed, after you're walking around and about. Now I could say that bracha, Baruch Hashem, I have koach. That's a possibility. However, I would like, of course, to show you how it's all one theme and one picture and it makes sense. And of course, everything only makes sense with a backdrop of Geula. What else is there? So, how does it fit? Go ahead.
I've heard the theories of all of David is based on the base of Mikdash. And so these 18 brachot are like the 18 steps. So maybe you could explain
that's
that.
That's too drasha for me.
That like Shosani Goy, Shosani Avi, Shosani Isha is that you can go past just like the first part of Beis
Hamikdash. Oh, yeah.
And then
I thought you meant it's connected each brach of Shmona Esrei.
No.
Like there's then, no way.
And then the amount of steps to get to the next point, I think, is as many as there are in the Shabbat. And then it's a Gemara and Talmud.
Yafeh. There are 15 steps. And on each step, yes. Oh, yes, it is. As a matter of fact, mina meitzah karasi ka, anani v'merchav ka. What is ka? Ka is 15. In English, how many shira malos are there? What day is Sukkot? 15th. What day is Pesach?
15.
Right. Very good. 15. Why? What's so important about 15? 15 is a yud and a hey. So the man is aleph. Yud Shin. Take fire and add the Yud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Isha, you add a Hey. And you take the Yud of man and the Hey of woman and you put them together. And when man and wife actually are in unison, they love each other, they care about each other, then you have HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If they don't have Shalom Bais and they don't like each other, then you could remove HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you're left with his Eish, his fire. It's cool, but it goes beyond cool. What I want to drive at is that actually Yud is the concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, and Hey is the concept of this world, Havaya, the Hey of Havaya. Yud is Yale, Yavo, Yagia, Yeireh, the world of future, the world of Mashiach, of Geula, of Olam Haba. That's the concept of Yud. It's known in Hasidic literature as the Yud Sheba Heichel. There's a reason for that. The Yud is infinite. A yud is a dot. What happens if you cut a yud in two? You have two yuds. Yud is infinite. And the yud is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hey is the world of Olam Hazeh. Hey is actually, according to the Gemara, Perek Abona and Shabbos, Hey is open on the top and bottom because it symbolizes tshuva. That if you fall out the bottom, you could always get that back in through the top. If you fall, jump out the top, you could always come in back through the bottom. It's a concept of tshuva. But tshuva is the mess-ups that are created because of our earthly desires, bahavaya, in this world, b'olam hazeh. You take man and woman, you take the holy life, the yud, and you take the daily life, the havaya, and you put them together and you get the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because if your aspects of God are limited only to the surreal world of godliness, spirituality, but you don't know how to be godly in this world. You just know how to like float and meditate and say, I love you, God. It's nice and bubbly and fluffy, but it's not the real thing. If you're only in this world, then you don't have the Ribono Shalom, so you got Havaya. But it's only when you take the holy life and put it into the daily life, as Rav Meir Goldberg says, and this is all his Chiddush, that's when you have the name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you have Ka. And that's why there are 15 Shirei Amalos, one to be recited on each step of the Beit HaMikdash going up. As a matter of fact, the entryway to every home and building tells you what the home or building is about. You walk in, okay, and there's a mezuzah. And then, right, what's in your entryway? Is there beautiful art in Judaica? Let's say you walk in and the first thing you see is a beautiful pavilion, high vaulted ceilings. Where are you? You're in a Manhattan building for high-end business. And what do they care about? High-end and the high-end look. That's what this building is about. And if you walk in and you see the first thing you walk into is the boot room where you take your boots off and your jackets and your bags, then you know you're walking into a home which is really laid back. Right? And if you walk in and it's all like perfectly prim and proper and there's Judaica and beautiful mahogany decorated wood and everything, you know your place. And every building is defined by the entryway. What's the entryway to the Beis HaMikdash? Steps. It's a funny entryway. Usually you give a person some room until they hit the stairs. But the entrance to the Kodesh, to get into the Kodesh, is steps, 15 steps. Why do you think that would be? Yeah, because you have to be going up. That's what the Beis HaMikdash is about. Always going up. How much more? Oh, I didn't give the explanation! Ah.